Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
We are at the interview part of the show, and today we're talking with, he's quite an author here. He's got a lot of types of books he's written. Very interesting. So thank you for being on the line, Mark Edward Hall.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Well, Mark, let's just get back to your background to start with. How long have you been writing, and what was it that made you start writing?
Well, I've always been sort of a writer. In school, I wrote poetry, and then I got into rock and roll bands in my younger years and wrote a lot of songs. And I didn't really, I was a voracious fiction reader, and I always sort of had this little spark that said, you really want to write this stuff, because, you know, I just love reading. So really, I got into it a little later than most. I was in my 30s when I actually got my first story published. So, you know, just the love of reading made me want to write.
Well, that's what, you know, because when you said you were in a band and you were playing in music, songs are written quite differently than books.
Oh, it's a whole different thing. Yeah, for sure.
So what did you have to do to develop the book writing side?
I had to sort of go back to school and you know, not academically, but I had to learn the whole process, you know, pretty much from ground up. I had to sit down and begin writing and then learn from my mistakes. And that's just pretty much how I did it, just on the job, just writing and throwing stuff away and getting rejection slips until finally somebody accepted one of my short stories, followed by more and a few anthologies, and then in 2002, my first novel.
So, so what is the main thing that you like to write in? Like, what area of writing is your favorite, or you really get excited about?
Supernatural thrillers. That's what I like. That's what I write.
Oh, so kind of a paranormal sort of angle to it. So have you had a lot of paranormal experiences in your life and you're drawing from that, or that is just what kind of got you into it?
Well, I've had a few experiences. Nothing, you know, nothing that I'd really want to get into because it's not that big a deal. But my grandmother was quite a storyteller. She was a psychic, a fortune teller, and she used to do some pretty strange things. And I happen to be her favorite grandchild. So she's gone now. But anyway, she used to sit hours at a time and tell me stories. Some of, and she swore they were all true. I doubt that. But anyway, that was pretty much the catalyst that got me going. With this, and they were all ghost stories, by the way.
Okay, yeah. And so when you say you're doing haunting, so do you create the whole story out of your mind then when you're doing this paranormal story? Is it just something you come up with?
Yeah. Yeah, these days I mix, I like the Lost Village was my first novel. It's a monster. It's a big book. And these days I'm writing more with a paranormal influence in my writing. I like police procedurals and detective stories. That's Apocalypse Island, Soul Thief, Song of Ariel. That's a three-book series that I finished a few years ago. Actually, it's not finished. There are more books to come, but those three are. And those are, yes, they're not horror stories. They're not ghost stories, but all of them have a paranormal bent to them.
Well, okay. So now, if they're none of that, so what's the story in itself? Would you say that they're crime stories, or are they just mysteries?
Some are and some aren't. Yes, some are crime, some are mysteries. They vary. My latest novel, The Children in the Lake, deals with the Native Americans, their plight, a mystery at a lake. Children disappeared in 1925, and to this day people still swear they see the children swimming in the lake. And that's pretty much the premise of the book. I won't get into depth on it because I want people to read the book.
Well, yeah. Yeah. No,
yes,
yeah.
It's a mystery. This one is a mystery.
So you have a mystery of the children that go missing and there's apparitions or ghosts that are seen
right.
From ever since then and all that.
Right.
So when you are creating that kind of a book and that kind of a story, it's a mystery with paranormal, supernatural twinge to it. How do you collect your information on that? Like, where do you draw from, is what I'm saying, to create these characters that you have, to make the people recognizable?
I do a lot of research when it comes. I use a lot of truth in my fiction. I use a lot of real events. The characters, they just kind of go along for the ride. I don't know. It's kind of a mystery, even to me, how these characters actually happen on the pages and the, you know, the direction they take. I don't know. It's hard for me to actually say how this all happens. It happens over a period of time and several rewrites, and it just happens in my head. I put it down and go from there. That's a big mystery.
Yeah.
Where these characters come from.
Yeah. Some writers, they say that they've, you know, they'll see someone in a store or in a coffee shop or walking down the road, and the way they're dressed and talking and acting, mm-hmm. Sparks an idea of a character, and others draw from people they know, and others get it in a dream. I always just like to ask where,
yeah,
some of the characters come from. If it's
all of the above,
all of it. So it's just,
yeah,
all over.
It comes from life experience. Sure.
How do you feel about your characters? Like, do you consider them like your children, or do,
yes,
you do?
Yeah, I do. I love all my characters, even the bad ones, because they're part of me, I guess.
Right. Right. So you put a little bit of yourself in each one of these characters.
Probably. I think most writers do that, although probably some don't admit it.
Hi, it's Julie. I just want to, if you don't mind me coming in a bit, if that's okay, Al. I'm just thinking, you know, you've got a series of books and you've just said that you'd quite like to continue that series.
Yes.
So when you begin to write a series like that, do you have an idea of where this is going to end, or is the story evolving and you kind of reach the end of one book and suddenly think, actually, I'm not quite ready to give them up yet and there's more adventures for them? How do you map a series?
I never know how a book is going to end, nor do I know how a series will end. I like to think that, you know, that the characters and the story kind of writes me. I go along and follow it. You know, I let the character speak. It's quite a process, because this is what I do for a living. So it's, I just go with it. I let them leave me alone.
And when you're writing, do you need to be able to do that? Because that's a lot of creativity there, isn't there? Because you're also needing to be bounded to make sure that the storyline is one that follows, and you know, characters can't just kind of go off on tangents. So how do you map your day? How do you write? Do you go somewhere quiet? Do you spend you know, a certain amount of hours doing it?
Yes. I do have an office, and I have a home in Florida and one in Maine. We winter in Florida, of course, and summer in Maine. But I have an office in both places, and it's for the most part private, and I'm left alone to do my writing. So it's, you know, it's really easy to get into my own head and work. I don't get bothered by people, so yeah, it's... If that was your question, I'm
glad. Yeah. So would you say that you're living through your characters, aren't you? So is there a particular character that you wish you had more in common with, or you feel that you have got more in common with?
Well, I'm not sure, but. Well, could you rephrase that question for me?
So when you're writing, you know, you're coming up with all these characters and they grow and they develop through the story. Is there a character that you could say there's a lot of me in that character? Or is there a character that you wish there was?
Well, maybe both at some point. Some characters, yeah, I suppose I do... You know, I do model after myself, and some are just total made-up characters that have nothing to do with me or my feelings or thought processes. Because I like to write unique characters, and I'm probably not the most unique person in the world. So, but anyway, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. I suppose. In terms of your research, you've mentioned you do a lot of research for your books.
I do, yes.
How long would it take, on average, to write one of your books? Let's just say, for example, in your series, how long might that take?
About a year for each novel, approximately.
And how much of that would be, would you research in advance, or would that be through the year?
Research would be about 20%
of the novel. And what would that research look like? Would it be more reading, or be visiting people, or?
Well, I like to say that there's a lot of truth in fiction, and so when I'm writing about a particular subject, as in Apocalypse Island, I wrote about MK Ultra, which was a U.S. CIA. Program back in the Cold War, where they actually used human beings, children, as test subjects, fed them radiation. I didn't believe it at first. I did not believe that was true, but a lot of research told me that it was, and I used that. And so I had to be, with what I used, the part of it that I used, I had to be accurate. The truth of that had to fit into the fiction in a real, in a very accurate format. So, anyway.
A lot of people who are listening to this will be wondering about how to get into writing and becoming a successful author like yourself. So you've mentioned that you got into it quite late in your 30s. What were you doing before, and what gave you the confidence to take the leap to commit?
I've done quite a few things. I've worked in the aerospace industry. I've owned and operated a recording studio. I'm a music guy. I actually still play music. I still have a band where I play frequently, or in summer I do. In winter I don't. But I've done lots of things. You know, people who don't know what they want to do in life usually get around and do all sorts of things before they finally realize what they want to be when they grow up. And I'm one of those people. Direction was hard for me. I knew I wanted to be a musician, and I'm not a bad musician, but I'm not a rock star. That's for sure. Anyway.
You mentioned writing a song on the Amazon page, and that you're thinking of recording that. Has that happened now, or are you still thinking about it?
What did it say?
About thinking about recording the song that you wrote?
Yeah.
So is that something that you're progressing, or is it something that you've done?
Well, something I'm progressing, yes.
Cool. So in terms of...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I always ask this of authors, and some people find it really, really difficult to answer. But if one of your books was put onto the big screen, who would play the character, the lead character? So choose your favourite book, and who would play that character for you?
Well, I have had people in mind to play characters of mine. I always thought Brian Dennehy would make a great Rick Jennings, who is the main character, one of the main characters in several of my novels. But of course, Brian Dennehy passed away a few years ago, So he'll never play that character. But that's who I had in mind to do that, that I would like to have do that character.
Hmm. So now, what advice would you give to someone that's writing right now, someone that's not published, hasn't found a publisher, and they're writing, a crime fiction or some sort of book in a fictional area? What would be your advice to them?
I would say to do the best you can do, and don't give up. I mean, you know, a lot of times people give up out of frustration, but keep writing. If it doesn't look good to you, if it doesn't sound good to you, then rewrite it and rewrite it again and keep rewriting. Don't just, you know, put something out there and say, well, that's going to have to be good enough. You know, my advice is to just keep at it, I guess.
Right. Now, so, and what is your opinion with going to a publisher or self-publishing for someone right now?
Actually, right now, I'm self-publishing. I went through two publishers, and neither of them, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but neither of them really did well for me. One of them, it took me 3 years to get my rights back. So I said, I'm gonna go the other route, and I'm gonna go independent, and all of my success in writing, most of it, has come from me going independent. So I say, you know, in today's world, in today's market, with iPhones and Kindles and all this stuff, I think if you've got a good product, if you can move people with your writing, I think you have as good a chance making it as an independent as you do with a publisher.
Right. Right. Quite a bit more freedom too. How do you find that marketing works for you? Are you just doing it through social media?
No, it's impossible to do enough marketing with social media.
Right.
You have to do your own. You have to do what the major publishers do. You have to spend money to make money. You've got to put your money out there where your mouth is. If you think your product's good, you've got to buy ads. You've got to do the whole thing. You've got to spend money for advertisements and.
Yeah. Do you think reviews, how are reviews, are they very important?
Yeah, I believe so. Sure. They are important. I think a lot of customer reviews you can take with a grain of salt. You know, people will give their opinion. They either like it or they don't like it. And people are not shy about voicing their opinions, so that's fine. But I think professional reviews, I think they're important. Sure, peer reviews.
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting. How much have you seen in the last 20 years? You said in the 90s was your first publishing. How has this industry changed? And do you think it's for the better or for the worst?
I think that's debatable. The publishing industry is panicked, especially the big New York publishers panicked when Amazon came out with the ebook. I mean, ebooks have been around for a long time, even before that, before Amazon did it. You could actually download a book on your computer and read it on your computer. But it was the Kindle that made the difference. And when that happened, it exploded, and that's when I really started. It exploded on the market. And most of the New York publishers panicked, and they did everything to discourage readers from buying ebooks. But now, of course, they're all selling ebooks now, and they jumped on the bandwagon. I think things are evening out with in relation to publishers, legacy publishers versus independent authors. I think it's evening out. I think there's a lot of independents that are doing well. But, you know, I mean, a lot of great writers are still with their publishers, so you can't discount them.
Right, right. Wow. So I guess this just all depends on how it treats you and how the publisher is for you.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
If it's going good and stuff like that.
Yeah. So
what are your biggest influences? Like, what do you read?
I read a wide variety of stuff, but I like thrillers. I like the kind of stuff I read. That I write. I'd say, as far as paranormal, of course, Stephen King is a big influence. Peter Straub. I could name dozens of great writers in the paranormal that influenced me. But there are lots of other, like people who write, John D. McDonald, who wrote the Travis McGee series. He's a big influence. And just many more. Adventure writers, Wilbur Smith, for instance, South African man, great writer. James Lee Burke, I love his writing. I have lots of influences.
Yeah.
Mainstream fiction as well as paranormal and supernatural. And I think I sort of blend all of these things together. By the way, I attended school with Stephen King way back in grammar school.
Oh.
He was a little older than me, but yeah, we went to the same school at the same time.
Wow. So where do you see yourself going now? Like, are you going to continue doing this kind of work, and anything new and wild going to happen, do you think?
I don't know. You're not talking politics.
No.
We won't go there.
No, it's a mess. No, I mean...
it sure is.
Do you see yourself going into screenwriting, or maybe getting into the movies, or doing a TV show or something like that with all the writing experience you have?
No, I don't want to write screenplays. I never did. I just like the novel format. But I recently I've had some people shopping my stuff to places like Netflix, Hollywood. But over the last year, it's tough. The whole system is closed right now. No one's making anything. There are no series being made. There are no movies being made. The COVID-19 virus has stopped everything in its tracks. So, yes, I'd love to have my stuff made into series or movie, but I'm going to have to wait on that, I think.
Yeah, the way it's going. Do you find when something like that goes on in the world, some sort of big event like COVID or protests or wars or anything like that, does it affect your writing?
I think it affects, personally, my writing in a positive sense.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because it gives me more fuel for fiction. I think I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I think I can't go anywhere anyway because of what's going on in the world, so I might as well sit here and write. So for me, it's kind of a positive, which is,
well, hey.
The virus itself is not positive at all. We're all scared to death. But yeah,
that gives you more, it opens your mind to new things,
right?
With these things like COVID's never happened. And so it's something new in your life and the way people act and react. And that opens up a whole new channel. But I'm just wondering if something gets you scared, or if you get upset or in a negative point of view from the world, something's going on in your area and it makes you mad, or it causes a reaction within yourself. Do you find that that will work its way into your writing? Maybe not directly, but maybe just the feeling?
Yes, you're right. It does. And I think all writers will tell you, most writers will tell you the same thing. Yeah, I think everything that happens out there in the world, in the media, is, and if you keep your eye on the media, which I do, has an effect, has an influence on what I write, yes.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that we all, as we feel things, and it really doesn't matter how you feel about the story, as much as you feel about what's going on, just the reaction that we have from it. So it's kind of a all the way around thing. So pretty interesting. Now, let's see. Do you have a website that people can, if they want to know more about you and your books and find out, where would they go?
Excuse me. I've had several websites over the years, but I find that websites in general are on the downturn. You know, I've got a blog, but I don't go there very often. I do most of my communication with social media, with Twitter, with Facebook, with Instagram, all kinds of things. But I think websites are a thing of the past for writers. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I understand totally. I run one because people still go to it. But sure. Yeah, but, you know.
I just haven't given my website the attention. And so, and I don't really even point people in that direction anymore. Most of my contacts, most of my, everything I do with my, with promotion is probably through ads that I run and through social media. I don't actually advertise my books on social media because it's really kind of fruitless, but I make a lot of friends and a lot of contacts that way.
Okay. Well, so I guess the best way to look you up, of course, is through bookstores or Amazon or go to Facebook or Twitter.
Exactly. Find me on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
I've got a fan page on Facebook and a regular friend page.
Great. Well, we'll get the fan page up for our listeners on our website so people can find you with one click.
Okay.
And we really appreciate you talking about writing today with us. And wish
thanks
you
for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Our guest.
Nice meeting. Nice meeting you both.
Our guest has been Mark Edward Hall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.